It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, all of October, and this past month we've spoken about mammograms, we've spoken about new programs that have been made available to support people living with cancer and who are not able to go to hospitals because of COVID-19, and I thought we'd spend this morning taking some time reflecting on recovery, and a cancer patient who's in recovery, Remofilwe Ngcobo, joins me on the line now. Remofilwe, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you, more importantly?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
How or when did you find out that you have breast cancer?
So I found out in the beginning of last year, January. And yes, how I found out, actually I found out in December and was only diagnosed in January. And how I found out was through a sharp pain that I felt in my right, or my left breast rather. And that actually led me to feeling the lump that was there.
And in fact, when you initially went to public health facilities, they misdiagnosed you, didn't they?
Yes, they did, unfortunately. But yes, so you do two tests when you go actually get tested. So the first thing I did was I went to Dis-Chem initially, just for breast screening, which they then let you know that you have a mass, but they can't necessarily diagnose you. And they refer you to the hospital to then actually get tested. So they do a blood test and a tissue sampling of the actual breast. And so the sampling comes a bit later. But the blood test said that it wasn't cancerous and it was just a fibroid, potentially.
So what made you decide, actually, wait a minute, I'm not happy with that diagnosis, let me go seek other views?
It was the sharp pain. So, I mean, I'd never experienced that before. And I was okay with, okay, it's a fibroid, you know, we can remove it a bit later. But I couldn't explain why this pain was persisting. So what happened was after that, they were going to put me on the wait list to actually get an ultrasound done or mammogram. But that was 9 months later. So I went in January and was put to actually see someone in September. But I thought, I can't wait 9 months, you know, with this pain. So I'm actually going to go private to pay for that ultrasound to have it done in that same month.
And I suppose, Remofilwe, the surprising thing for you, and it's certainly surprising that I'm reading it, is that you were 25 when all of this was happening.
Yes, I was. And I think that's what actually made them not believe that it was cancer. So they really, in profiling, it's that, you know, you are over 40 or you have this, you know, history of it. So you're put on a wait list rather than seen immediately. And I think that's what was a bit disappointing at the time.
Do you come from a family where cancer is existing?
Not really. So I had a cousin who had breast cancer, but it's not a history. It was just one person.
Yeah. What has happened since the confirmed diagnosis of breast cancer, which happened in January 2019?
So I've gone through chemotherapy, so I'll explain from the beginning. It actually depends on the size of your tumor at the time. So I was at stage 2B, you know, it's a very fancy terminology, but it just depends on the size and whether it's spread or not. So mine was at a size where it was starting to grow a bit rapidly, but it hadn't spread. So I started with chemotherapy, which was like a cycle of 8 for a few months. And I then stopped with that. Actually, I stopped before the cycle completed. And then I then went into surgery. I then went to have surgery in about 4 months later. Initially, they thought that the tumor wasn't responding to the treatment. So I stopped 2 cycles before I was supposed to complete it. And then I went into surgery, which I did privately because the wait list as well of when I would be able to do surgery was a bit later in public. After that, I then had radiation. the radiation is like a laser that intensifies or is specifically targeted to the actual area that had the cancer cells. So with chemo, it's like just trying to kill all potential fast-growing cells across the body, whereas radiation is localized specifically to the area. So I had that for about a month or two. And after that, I then went back onto chemotherapy just to ensure that there were no cells left, actually, after the radiation.
And as we speak, in October of 2020, there aren't any cells that have been left after the radiation, are there?
I'd like to believe so. So it's not as simple as, you know, you're done with treatment. So it actually, between the time you're diagnosed and 5 years, that window, it can always come back. But at the moment, like, that's when they say you are cancer-free. But I'm currently in the stage of remission where everything seems okay, and I recently did scans. So I'm just in the phase where I'm about to complete the reconstruction surgery. So reconstruction is after you've done a double mastectomy, which I did. I removed both the breasts. Even though it was only in the one, the chance of it spreading to the other was a bit high. So then you do reconstruction where they can refill that.
We've been talking about the physical impact, I suppose, of not only the diagnosis of cancer, but also the treatment of it. What does this all do to your emotion, to your heart, to your spirit?
It's a roller coaster ride, to be honest, Africa. I think that there's no like one way to express it. Personally, for myself, I'm quite a positive person by nature. So I think my down parts of my journey were in between more than in the beginning. In the beginning, it was like, okay, yes, there is this lump, but, you know, it doesn't mean anything. I never had the exposure to like what social media or television has given us the view of cancer, because it's usually a death sentence. You're going to die. That's all you see on TV. So it was like, okay, I have this problem. Great. This is the solution that's going to happen. It's out of my control, so I won't stress about it. But once you actually go through the treatments and you feel sick, you feel weak, that's actually for me when I felt like, okay, I'm actually a patient and I feel it. And I think support is so important in that time, especially for people who are generally the stronger people, and people usually depend on you or rely on you. In those moments, you have to let go of that strength and that independence and actually allow people to be there for you. So it's a lot.
And how easy was it for you to allow your family, your friends, your partner to be there to take care of you, and that Remophilia does not have to be the strong and bright one anymore?
It wasn't easy. It's really not easy. You battle with understanding that actually you don't have to be strong. And at times it would be like, but you're strong. And I'm like, but I don't want to be strong. I don't want to have to be strong. So it's really important to allow people in and to not bottle things up or think that, you know, I have to do this on my own, or I don't want to be a burden to others. And yeah, I think also what helped is joining the support group that's, you know, made available through the hospital. So actually, as you go there and you listen to the stories, you see the woman and you realize that it is possible to overcome, it is possible, then it actually allows you to have hope and to be able to overcome it.
Indeed. There's a campaign called hashtag Pink Diaries, this breast cancer awareness month, of course. Strawberry Lips launching that exciting new campaign, aiming to spread awareness about breast health and contribute to future breast checkups and educational interventions by Pink Drive. What can you tell us about it?
So that was really a beautiful campaign to be a part of. So they have the Pink Diaries campaign, where it has been survivors and champions, those who've actually had family members or people close to them who have been diagnosed or passed because of cancer. And so they're running that on their Facebook, on Strawberry Lips, you know, their stories being shared as words of encouragement and actually just letting people be aware of it. And it was really beautiful to be a part of it, one, to represent young people who are diagnosed with breast cancer, because it's seen as, you know, as you're over 40, but also to be a representation of an African person who goes through it, because we hardly tell of the stories of people who've gone through it or who have survived. So it's been a really amazing to be a part of that and to hear the stories of others.
Well, it's certainly been amazing chatting to you, Remofilo. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us this morning.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Remofilo Ngcobo, cancer patient in recovery. Hashtag Pink Diaries is the hashtag to search for. Some amazing stories. And that's how we found Remofilo Ngcobo ourselves. Hashtag Pink Diaries.